Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, I'm Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, here to answer your colour and style questions that you have sent me that are now in my colour and style lucky dip. So, let's see who is first today. It's always a joy. I never know what I'm going to be answering. Katrina says, I am an A shape. If I attempt to do an outside column of colour using a third piece, so a jacket or a cardigan, it ends up at my widest point. Will the column of colour negate the horizontal line created at that widest point? Fairly much so. It's ideal if it doesn't end at that point. It does mean that when you're doing that column of, like that garment can't really be worn without a column of colour. So I'm always looking for things that you can wear in versatile multiple ways. So if you buy things that end on your widest point, particularly when A-shaped, so that usually means just down on the upper thigh, which is your widest point, they're always going to create a widening appearance and draw attention to the widest point there. So I would be really avoiding, if possible, buying things that end at that point. And then if I do happen to have some, can I alter them to make them shorter? But if you've got them already and they can't really be altered because some clothes just, you know, you can't take them up just because of their construction, then yes, wearing them in a column of colour is the best way because we won't really notice where the hem ends in the same way as we would if it was a change of colour. There you go. Short and sweet. But yeah, so when thinking about, you know, where to end your tops and jackets, think about it wants to be away from the widest point because all, you know, hems on the whole are horizontal lines, and horizontal lines draw the attention because we're looking for the horizon because it gives us balance and makes us feel calm and peaceful. And then we want to think that also too, horizontal lines widens and shorten. So just be wary of you where you put your horizontal lines. Okay, next question. This one comes from Leanne. If we decide to go grey or white or silver, depending whatever colour is underneath our hair dye during this time of unique opportunity, how will we know if our palette has changed? So one of the things to think about is if your hair really changes colour quite radically, it's usually a good opportunity to retest your colours because some people's colour will change, some people's won't. More on the whole that they will more likely change. Particularly if you've had a brighter colour. So say I'm a brighter blonde, and if I went to my natural grey, it's a bit more muted than this brighter blonde. So I'm probably going to need some more muted colours than I could wear with my brighter blonde. So if you say warmer, so you've been dyeing your hair into the copper sort of tones or the warm golden blondes and you go grey, you might cool you down some. Now, you might find that you're still on the warm side because you've got that warmer skin, or you might end up moving right over to the cool side. So generally what I would say is, how do I know? Usually it's because the clothes often don't, they start feeling not quite right anymore. It's like you're going, this outfit doesn't look as good as it used to look, like what I was expecting it to look like. So often it's the, does it look as good as it used to? Does it look as good as I was expecting it to? And then having, you know, so those feelings aren't there for you, just going, it doesn't really work anymore. That's a great indicator that it's time to relook at your colours. And otherwise just, you know, take some photos of yourself and maybe even compare it to photos of you previously in the same outfit. If you happen to have someone, just take some photos and notice, are the colours wearing you now? Do you see colour first before you see you? You want to have a balance between you and the colours. The colours want to make you look brighter, but they want to not overwhelm you. So that's something to think about if you are thinking about going grey at this time. Like this is a time to think about, well, if the hairdressers aren't open and who knows how long this will go on for, is it the right time? It might be that this is the right time, this is the opportunity, but not for everybody. Or you can just test it out and see how you feel about it, because it's not like you can't dye your hair again down the road should you choose to. Okay, let's have a look at our last question for today. So Natalie said, with the absolute colour palettes, what are the absolute colour palettes that are the easiest for me to identify? and which are the hardest? She's got a very big question here, so I'll just answer that a little bit. So honestly, I wouldn't say that there's any that are easier or harder than others, because that is to do with experience. The more experienced you are, the more you kind of get used to seeing different colouring and colours. There are some people who are a little bit trickier to tell than others, and that's because they may not have really obvious things. So there are some things that we might see is if you're a natural redhead, obviously warm. If you've got a naturally olivey kind of green eye or an asparagusy green eye, generally pretty much guaranteed to be warm. So there are some things that might make it easier. The things that make it slightly harder sometimes are things like, not having any kind of really obvious traits where you don't look really cool or really warm or really light or really dark. Like if none of the color properties are really obvious, that's often where it just makes it a little bit trickier. But I wouldn't actually say that there are any color palettes that are, some are really obvious, like something like a tranquil or exquisite can be really obvious because the person is really, really, really light. Everything about them is very, very light and airy in feel. Very often. So really those kind of things, there's no one that I'd say it's more easy than another one to figure out. Is there any particular colouring that gives you a greater clue when you're assessing someone's colouring? Yes. So when I'm looking at someone's colouring, like the colours that I in the end decide that, sorry, the light in here is terrible, the sun's dappling through the tree and making me all blotchy. So when I'm thinking about colouring, then what I do is I look at, I don't know if that helps or not, I look at, the greens and the reds, or the greens and the pinks are often the two parts I look at the most, because if they are wrong, they look really wrong. They really make someone look quite ill. And if they're right, they usually harmonize really well. So generally when I'm looking at coloring, so if somebody's got blue eyes, it's very hard to look at blues and say they're warm or cool, because you generally find a lot of the blues will be better because they have these blue eyes. So there's something about the eyes that the blue draws out. So I'll have to kind of almost ignore the blue, section of the palette. And then I'm looking at things like the greens, because greens make us look healthier or unwell very easily. And then the pinks and reds, because they'll either make us look really flushed or give us a healthy glow. So I tend to find that kind of pinks and reds and the greens are probably the most telling, that if they don't work, the palette doesn't work. That's, one of my little things that I think about when I'm doing analysis. But I'm always looking at the whole going, would I like the person in this version, which version of those kinds of colours do I want to see the person in? Which are the ones creating the most harmony and the most balance with that person? It's one of those things, it's that there's a certain element of gut instinct when I'm doing it, and that's from experience, just feeling. It just feels like when I see the person in the right palette, it gives me this feeling of calm comes over me. It feels like I'm coming home or they've come home. It's a feeling of relaxation, versus when I'm looking at the wrong palette, it often makes me feel a little bit sick in my stomach. It's like there's something not quite right. It feels uncomfortable to me. So that is something, and that's having done colour analysis for a long time, I think that's developed more and more over time. But it is something that I'll notice that, many of us, we just kind of know when you go, oh, that's right, that looks good. It's a feeling of calm. But yeah, if the pinks and reds are wrong, so what kind of pinks? One of those things, because the pinks and reds really relate to skin. So the wrong reds will make you look really flushed. The right ones will make you look healthy. Same with the pinks. The wrong ones will make you look, often just pink in the face, versus the right ones can give you more of a healthy glow. And that is the same too for the greens, whether they look related or kind of make you look like you need a day off because you're coming down with some illness. So they are just some of the things I look for. I also look at the neutrals a lot as well, which may surprise people. But because neutrals are such a part of the wardrobe that really the neutrals need to work for you, because they're going to be the basis of many wardrobes. And so I do really look at the neutrals as well. And that can be a great indicator of undertone as well, whether someone is warmer or cooler, about whether they suit the, you know, some of the warmer or the cooler neutrals. That is something I definitely look at, and I teach my students and my graduates to look for as well, is to look at those neutrals. Don't just look at the colours. The neutrals can often be really telling. And often when I'm deciding between two palettes, sometimes it's part of it is like, you know, the all the neutrals look so much better on this palette than this one. And it could be because they're a little bit brighter or a little bit more muted or a little bit cooler or a little bit warmer, depending on, you know, which palettes we are looking at and comparing between. So there you go. Hopefully that helps, kind of an idea about colour analysis. Was there anything there? Warm and cool is one of those things that greens really help, because our olivey greens are very different from our foresty greens like my chair. There you go. Do please send me your questions. I love to get your questions. If you're interested in learning about colour analysis, I do have online colour analysis training. You can do a theory course and also the draping training. I've got that all online for you. If you'd like a colour analysis yourself, I can do that just by itself, or as part of my 7 Steps of Style program as well. So if that is something that interests you, please do get in touch with me, imogen@insideoutstyleblog.com. All the training is on my Academy of Professional Image website as well, which is the 3 W's, then AOPI.com.au as well. All my training information is there. I'm always putting new things on there too. Lots of educational webinars and those sorts of tools for image consultants to help you keep growing and learning and becoming the best image consultant you can be. Hope you have a lovely day, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and colour tips, and don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of colour and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.